from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Bob and Paul, here we are. We are at Acrisure Stadium. It's the Pittsburgh Public Schools backpack drive here, and cars are lining up now to come through Gold Lot 1A, donating various items, notably backpacks, to ensure a good school year ahead. And I told you I would have a question for you, and I asked the question, and I'm assuming that all three of you, and I'll include City Limits in this because he is so nice, I'm assuming all three of you have formulated an answer. Let me introduce the contestants here. The question is, which one of these men will have more touchdown passes from this day forward to the end of their career? This day forward. Introducing Josh Dobbs, 29 years old. He has 13 touchdowns in 13 games over the past two seasons for two different teams. He appears to be the 49ers backup. Mason Rudolph, 29 years old. He had three touchdowns in four games last season, Paul. The other night he was 10 of 17 for 125 yards and a touchdown, led the game-winning drive for the Titans, competing with Malik Willis for the backup job behind Levis and Butthead. Mitchell Trubisky, 29 years old, 12 games as a Steeler, 10 touchdowns. He appears to, he is the backup to Josh Allen. We saw how horrible he still is. Russell Wilson, however old he is, I forgot, 26 touchdowns last season, but a lot of people around the league see him just sort of hanging on here by a thread. No financial commitment. What would the market be if it goes south here? You could see the end coming quickly. I still believe in Russell, but not 100%, and you could see the end coming quickly. Justin Fields, 25 years old, 33 touchdown passes in 28 games with the Bears, and these are only touchdown passes, not runs. So these are your contestants, Bob and Paul. Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph, Kenneth Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. I failed to mention, I did mention Pickett. Here's some of the social media reaction to Kenny Pickett's latest performance in Philly, where, again, he now may have fallen behind one Tanner McKee. Eagles fan Central, if you're a Steeler fan and had to spend your last 2 years convincing yourself Kenny Pickett could be a franchise quarterback, you may be entitled to financial compensation. That's number one. I mean, this Bob. This is a disaster. Every single Kenny Pickett pass went short of the sticks. Yep. The other night. People are saying stuff like that. So I'll ask you the question, Bob. Which one of those guys has the most touchdown passes from here to the end of their career?
So I'm going to go with what to me is an easy answer, and that would be Justin Fields. He's younger. If they allow him to get into games, if he gets into games, I think, and I'm not factoring interceptions because that was one of his problems. I mean, you're just asking for touchdowns. He has the most likely shot,
yes,
given where he is. Russell Wilson's just going to be 36 in a month or two, where in November I think it is. I don't know how much he has left, so I'm not going to go in that direction, although he probably will jump out to the lead. And the rest of the guys are not in good situations to actually get in and play and make those sizable contributions.
I don't know about that.
Well, who are you
talking about? Mason Rudolph.
I don't know. I like Mason Rudolph.
But Butthead out there?
Yes, I think they do. I mean, we'll see. But the one thing that seems to be, you're going to go with the younger guy, Fields, going to go with the guy who may have opportunities here, more so than these other guys, to me, is Justin Fields, Paul.
Just so I understand it correctly, this is for from this point to the rest of their career or just this year?
This point to the
career.
Rest of their career.
Justin Fields is absolutely the right answer. In fact, I'll go even this far. I'm going to say Justin Fields has more than all of the rest of those guys combined.
Holy horse milk.
Because I think Russell Wilson.
But you don't like Fields that much.
Right,
so where is he going to play? Who's he going to play for?
He's 24 years old. He's going to find a couple of more opportunities to start here and there. I think Russell Wilson will throw 25 touchdowns this year, and then he'll be done as a player. So the bar is 25 touchdowns. I mean, Pickett and all those other guys, I don't know if they'll ever play another meaningful down.
All right. I think that if there's an injury in San Francisco, that Josh Dobbs is very capable. By the way, and I think Mason Rudolph might be. What if he turns out to be the best of all these quarterbacks after all this time?
Well, he was last year for the Steelers. I mean, he's the guy who was in there when they won three in a row, get to the playoffs. So,
what would be hilarious is if the 49ers, if Purdy gets hurt in week one and Josh Dobbs leads the 49ers to the Super Bowl and Mason Rudolph leads them to the the Titans.
Yeah,
the Titans versus the 49ers, Dobbs against Mason Rudolph.
Oh, how about Kenny Pickett, though? I'm watching these rookie quarterbacks, you guys. I'm watching Bo Nix, who looks unbelievable. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Did you see the highlights of the plays he made?
Yes.
The Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett as their franchise quarterback, and I was fooled for a while. A lot of us were. I always point to Ben. Forget about me. I think Ben is a pretty good judge of quarterbacks, and Ben is an honest guy. For God's sakes, he admitted he was rooting against Kenny when he got here. He also, on his podcast, does not necessarily pull punches when he's critiquing Steeler quarterbacks. He said at the end of Kenny's first year that Kenny is better than I thought he was. So Kenny fooled Ben, too. He fooled a lot of us. But my God, I'm watching these quarterbacks, these rookies, and I'm thinking, the Steelers put all their eggs in the Kenny Pickett basket. He never made a play like that. His whole career, some of the plays, preseason or anywhere, that I saw Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels make in the last 2 days.
Right.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
What a disaster, Paul. They basically forfeited 2 years of T.J. Watt and Cam's career.
Yeah, well, again, I think part of it is
and Minka.
They needed a quarterback. And for better or worse, and I think we're finding out for much worse, Pickett was probably the best of the lot except for Brock Purdy, who nobody else liked. But look at the rest of the guys that were drafted in that.
I know.
In that group.
I know.
Desmond Ritter, is he a starter anywhere? I don't even know if he's a starter. I don't even know.
No.
Is he still with Atlanta?
No, that whole draft class was a complete joke.
Desmond Ritter was so good, they went out and blown out Achilles. They gave out blown out Achilles Kirk Cousins $200 million or whatever they
right.
gave him.
So, but
my point is, they wanted to make sure that they got the quarterback, and they felt like he was the best one, and they felt like, you know what, a franchise quarterback is worth a first-round pick. I actually can't kill them for that because at the time most people said, well, he is the best one. I said at the time they probably could have waited to the second round and still got him. But I understand what they were thinking. They wanted to get a quarterback that they felt like was able to be a franchise guy. But if you look at that group, though, Desmond Ritter, this Malik Willis. Who else was in that
Sam group? Sam Howell, who I actually
Sam
think
Howell.
Could still be good.
Sam Howell might actually be the best.
Yeah, where is he in Seattle now?
I can kill him for it. Yep. I can. And this that was Tomlin's decision. Absolutely Mike Tomlin's decision. With all the power that he has in that franchise, it wasn't like out the door. by the way, Mike, for the rest of your career, I'm going to saddle you with Kenny Pickett. They get paid a lot of money to make right decisions on players. Well, and the Pickett decision wasn't just wrong. I could see him being out of football at some point, the way things are going
for
him.
The way they evaluated it was terrible.
It was a franchise-crushing decision. Yeah. But either way, whether you want to crush them for it or not, it happens in the context of, are they judging these quarterbacks correctly? Like, I don't see how anybody can't question the Steelers' judgment on quarterbacks, offensive linemen, you know what I mean? At this point, Mike Tomlin's judgment in general on personnel, like, I think Mike Tomlin is a good coach. I think that's just a fact. I don't even think it's an opinion. I think where he's gotten himself, where he's hurt himself and the franchise, is in his involvement, heavy involvement in the draft and in hiring assistant coaches.
Well, I think the assistant coach right now that people are really focused on is Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach. I mean, he's been given a lot of talent. What is he doing with it? That's a very fair question, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator to me is Mike Tomlin anyway. So, and Terrell Austin's a good coach. He's a smart coach. He knows what he's doing. But I think you're right about, especially on the offensive side of the ball, some of the coaches that they've made, that they've hired, I think, have been amateur hour in some ways. Matt Canada being number one of them.
To keep him, to double and triple down on. But let me ask you this.
To me, the offensive line coach is the one who should be in the crosshairs right now because he's been handed a lot of talent, and it doesn't look like he's done much with it.
Well, I think we can all agree on this, Bob, no matter our thoughts then, now, and in between, is the drafting of Kenny Pickett was an all-time Steelers franchise blunder, an all-time draft disaster. Everybody agree?
Yes, because of where it was. And, again, we could sit here and say, well, at the time it looked good, but our job is not to actually pull,
Jarvis Jones looked good, too.
Well, ding, 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 the Steelers have just acquired a player from the San Francisco 49ers. No, not Brandon Ayuk. It is a linebacker, Kaiava Tazino.
Let's plan the parade, Bob.
I wonder if this has anything to do with Peyton Williams. Only because he's the only guy I thought he had a concussion. At least they were looking at a concussion.
Peyton Wilson. Yeah.
What did I say, Williams? Peyton Wilson. Anyway, this kid here is from San Diego State. He played in the USFL. I don't know what the reason behind it is. So, just wanted to throw that in. Just because when I saw San Francisco player coming to Pittsburgh, I said, uh-oh.
How did they phrase it in the tweet? The Niners and Steelers
one of them was like, okay, the Steelers have picked up a player off the Niners. I'm thinking, oh, who's that? And then I looked, and it's this guy I've never heard of, actually. So
yes, an all-time franchise disaster. And I'm not sure that Mike Greenberg isn't right when he said, are we all sure that Fields and Wilson are better than the two guys they had last year? I hope so. I think so. But man, I don't think that was like an outlandish statement by him at all. Do you, Bob?
No, only because, again, you'd have to look back and say, well, both of these guys have a resume. Russell Wilson is right there in Hall of Fame conversation with 9 Pro Bowls and what he did in Seattle, winning a Super Bowl and all of that. It's just that, yeah, we're at a stage of his career where he, he hasn't put – last year the numbers look good, but again, there was something missing there. The year before was not very good, and Seattle decided to trade him the year before that. So until we see it, we're not sure people don't know which Russell Wilson they're getting. As far as Justin Fields, why did no one want him, given all the elaborate talent that he has and the fact that everyone on national media was talking about how wonderful this guy can be in a better system? Only a 6th-round pick. So I think there are questions. They can answer all of those questions by playing well when they get an opportunity. So I can understand what he said. I hope that's not the case, because if that is the case, then they're going to have to go through this whole process all over again.
Paul, what do you make of the demise of Pickett to the point now where I'm not kidding when I say it almost looks like he's going to be out of football in like a year if this keeps up. Tanner McKee is going to beat him out maybe?
Is it a demise? Or is he just who he is?
Well, to go from first round 20th overall Heisman winner to out of the league in 3 years would be
from that standpoint, yes, I would absolutely say it's a demise. But to me, I mean, is this just a case of this is who he is? I mean, he's not that good of an NFL quarterback. He was a really good football player for Pitt, you know, in his final year. I think a lot of things aligned for him to have that kind of season. Obviously, Pitt had literally like four eighth-year guys on their offensive line. They had Jordan Addison. They had a bunch of guys. I mean, that team was, you know what I mean? That's not to take away anything that, you know, from what he did, but my point is everything aligned well for him that year to have the kind of year he did. I'm just saying, do we really think he's that, you know, are we surprised?
Yes. Last year at this time, I had him as a rising top 10 quarterback in the league. Yes, I'm surprised.
But that was based on what?
It was based on all the things that we saw in the offseason, the preseason, the fact that he finished the previous season with two great wins, I thought, on late drives. I was wrong, by the way. So was Ben. So was most other people.
My point about
but if you would have told me then that he would be a backup by now, I don't think I would have been stunned. But if you would have told me he would be the third-string quarterback for the Eagles behind Tanner McKee after basically quitting on the Steelers, which is the way a lot of people look at it, it's the nature of the story that I'm shocked by, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, that's something you'd have to really think long and hard of a quicker descent in terms of where people had this guy in terms of, wow, this is great, not hometown kid, but kid that played at Pitt. What a great story. He's in the same stadium. The fan base is here. He's, you know, he's going to be there were people saying he's going to, like, reconcile the debt from them not drafting Dan Marino because they got the next great pick
reconcile
guy.
Is the perfect word.
But
yes.
My point is all of that turned out to be in a year and a half. It went to complete disaster.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bob, would you like to say anything on that?
Can you think of another player who's.
No.
Well, I just think the.
When I can't.
Again, the hesitation in the pocket, the willingness to leave the pocket and spin away, limits his vision. All those passes were underneath, and his numbers, again, look good, but numbers can be deceiving. The one number that stands out is 5.2 yards per catch. That's not good. You can't operate like that on a full-time basis in the NFL because sooner or later you're going to have a negative play, and then you're going to have to be required to throw the ball from the pocket down the field, and he hasn't done that on a regular basis.
The nature of his demise, the one thing that we all thought Kenny Pickett has was he's a leader.
Yeah, a competitor. Right.
He's got the intangibles. That's actually more than his play, what got him out of here.
I'll give you one similar thing. Matt Murray with the Penguins.
Mm.
Two-time Stanley Cup champ to a guy who, like, lost his job, what, a year later? Or maybe a year and a half later or something?
Yeah.
Not only they got rid of Fleury, they felt so good about this guy, right?
Unbelievable.
And he's – I couldn't even tell you who he plays for right now. Who's –
I don't remember. It's either Ottawa or Toronto.
He's with Toronto now, but okay, he's – I don't know.
But I'm just saying, he went where, you know, there was a point there when literally, and I know this because, you know, every so often, allegedly, I might bet on games. I would bet on Ottawa every night he played goalie because he was giving up like 5-6 goals a night.
Yeah. That's good betting.
That's about as far down of a fall as you can have.
And it happened quickly. Bob, would you like to play a game of big deal, small deal, no deal? I know it's your favorite game.
I love all your games, Joe, yes.
And you have a showdown coming up at the top of the hour. We have a big pirate story that I'm saving for 12:25, and I'm very, well, not excited. It's there's going to be a lot of opinion, let's put it that way. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Are you ready, Paul?
Yes.
Are you ready, Bob?
Yes.
The Jaylen Warren injury. Bob first.
Small deal.
Paul?
Small deal.
Huge deal. And I didn't even have that as one of the categories. This team has to get off to a great start this season because the schedule is just a gauntlet the second half of the year. And Atlanta needs to be a win, and this dude needs to play. And it looks like he may not play in that game. When I see hamstring injury for a running back, man, I think of a lot of players, none of whom I can think of right now, unfortunately, who have been hampered for entire seasons with such injuries because the word run is in his position multiple weeks on account of this. I think it's a big deal. I think both of you couldn't be more wrong, Bob.
But the only thing is he has time here until they play a game. Even if he misses one game, you know, we don't know that at this point. Yeah, I agree with you. Hamstrings are difficult, especially for a running back. But I also know that he can come back from it. And if he does, then it's a small deal.
Big deal, small deal, no deal, Paul. The Broderick Jones disaster.
I think that's a huge deal. Because if he's not good or he's unhealthy, then this whole season goes to hell.
Yes,
Bob?
Big deal. Absolutely big deal.
Are we writing off, and maybe this is the case, it almost is like Key Brian Hayes here. Are we just saying that the injury caused this the other day? I mean, like I said, Greg Russo is not exactly Bruce Smith. He had 5 sacks last year in 16 games. He has 17 in his whole career.
But they like him a lot, and they picked up his option. They're working on a long-term deal. They believe he's just starting.
He shouldn't be throwing around your first.
No, I agree with that, but you make it sound like he's some sort of – he is a guy they're counting on. So it's not like he's just chopped liver in there. But, yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
I mean, he had 5 sacks. He shouldn't be throwing around your tackle.
No, I agree.
Are we writing this off to injury, or is there something profoundly – Is this guy just not going to be good? I mean, that's how concerned I was the other night.
Yeah.
He just got thrown around. Is it the injury?
I hope so.
Man, I hope so.
I hope so. I think we all hope so. It's a lot easier to explain something away if it's an injury situation.
Bob, he struggled badly against the Bills in a playoff game last year, too. I hope we're not trending in that direction. I'm not going to go there yet, but that was a big deal.
That would be difficult, especially if he being another number one pick. He has to be not only good at left tackle, he has to be among the elite at left tackle.
I mean, these Steeler draft picks on the offensive line are incredible, aren't they? They draft a guard out of Illinois and make him a center. They draft a left tackle 2 years in a row and make them both right tackles.
But again, you look at what Broderick Jones did when he went elsewhere. I'm not Broderick Jones. Kevin Dotson.
And Kevin Dotson.
Kevin Dotson did when he went elsewhere, right? I mean.
And wasn't that because he didn't play the side
right.
that he played in college?
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, what are they doing? If they draft somebody, what are they going to do next? Draft a quarterback and make him their punter? If you draft somebody, have them play the position that you drafted them at.
But both of the guys they've drafted in back-to-back years at number one are both left tackles.
Exactly, and they're both right tackles.
Yeah,
right
that's the problem here. At some point, you know, when they're healthy, you got to make way, and Dan Moore has to become an insurance policy, which I think he's best suited for, a guy who can come in if need be.
This is mind-boggling. It really is. To the point where I don't even know what the next question was. The Beanie Bishop injury. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Bob?
I'd like to know the extent of it before I answer, but I would say it's a small deal, only because I think they have people who can be there in that role, although he's been very good. But I would say at this point, small deal.
Paul?
I would say between small and medium deal. I mean, it could be a bigger deal. Right now, I'll say the upper part of a small deal.
All right. The new kickoff.
Ugh.
Generally speaking, is this a big deal, small deal, or no deal in terms of its impact on the games? Paul, the new kickoff. The new kickoff sucks.
I'm going to say less than a small deal.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any impact. I mean, I've watched enough preseason games now, and I keep hearing people say, well, they're not showing all the things they're going to do with it. Okay. How many different ways can you do it?
Bob?
Yeah, I would say it is a bad idea that has proven to be one in the short term here. And I think what you'll see ultimately is guys just kick it in the end zone and say, we don't want to play this game. Take the ball to 30.
I'd pull a Gary Bettman right now and scrap it.
They might. They might do it because they have
in the middle of season.
They have an owner's meeting coming up at the end of this month, and they could very well, it's not about this, but they could very well say, maybe we're not going to do this.
You know what? It's horrible. Here's what I would say at that meeting. This is stupid. We're confusing our fans. We're going to spend an inordinate amount of time looking at this idiotic kickoff. We tried to make it seem like we care about players, like this is a player safety issue, when we really don't, and we all know that.
Right.
Since we're also at the same time arguing for an 18th game, let's just get rid of this. All it is confusion. It's a controversy, officiating controversy, waiting to happen because it's 11 more things that our officials have to worry about. Let's scrap it. Let's just scrap it. That's what I would do. All right, next, Bob, the receiver situation behind Pickens. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
Big deal. Still remains a big deal. I mean, somebody's got to have to clamp in on that, and I've seen good and bad from a lot of these guys, but I want to see not just good but excellent stuff to compliment George Pickens, and so far haven't seen
Who's
that.
The Pirate Parrot. How are you, sir? Or ma'am? I'm not sure who's in there. Does he talk?
They don't talk, no.
They don't talk.
When did that become a rule? Does the San Diego Chicken talk?
I have no idea.
Have you met this
Pierogies
person?
Don't talk either.
How are you? That's not going to make for good radio because they don't talk.
No, they don't
have
talk.
Have you ever met the Pirate Parrot?
No, I've met many different versions of the Pirate Parrot
over
the years.
They just shook hands. Paul and the Parrot.
Yes.
Bob, have you met the Parrot? Is there just one?
Oh, no.
Communicate verbally.
Hey, Joe. Joe, you'll love this.
One Parrot. Hold on. Let me ask the Parrot a question, Bob. There's just one? You're the only Parrot? Okay, because I think the Steeler, what's his name? Is he still around?
Yes.
Who's the Steeler mascot? Steely McBeam.
Steely.
Is there like three Steely McBeams? He doesn't know, or she doesn't know. Go ahead, Bob.
So I'm going to tell you, you're a golfer. The Pirate Parrot can hit the crap out of the ball in uniform.
Are you a good golfer? Pirate Parrot, he says yes.
Yes, I've seen it.
Yes.
I've seen it long distance with the drive, even in the Parrot regalia.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. What were we talking about there? Thank you, Parrot, and have a wonderful day. I'm glad you're here. You look great. You agree, Paul?
He looks wonderful all the time. I love the outfit, you know, and he makes people happy.
He does. Or she does. I don't know who's in there. Bob, where were we? Oh, the receiver situation. Go ahead.
No, I did. I answered it. So, Paul, what do you think?
Big deal. Paul, big deal, small deal, no deal.
I kind of forgot about it now because of the...
The receiver situation behind Pickens.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
I'm writing about that today. And then I think that this flight's a fantasy that these guys are, you know, they have a quarterback problem. They also have a receiver problem. They got one guy that can get open.
Does the con artist ever do anything wrong in people's minds, Bob? Because all I ever see is what a genius he is,
and then I look at their last two draft picks,
and then I look at them not getting Brandon Ayuk so far and being left with Van Jefferson and a bunch of guys
I've
that
nobody...
I've
been hammering him for the receiver position for a year now.
Good.
So, yes, good. In my mind, he's done a lot of good things, but at receiver, he has not done anything. He's not done it.
I think he's a little bit overpraised in this town, Bob. I don't know if either of these two quarterbacks are any good. Their last two first-round draft picks are still to be proven. And again, neither one of them is playing their position. We'll see, right? We'll see on Patrick Queen. It's not like everything he does works.
No, and I think maybe if he had to do it all over again, he would not have traded Deontay Johnson so quickly.
Yes.
That to me was kind of a rush to a judgment, but it weakened your wide receiving core when you didn't have a plan B to bring somebody in.
No, not that, Bob.
But you
not
could have used
that.
Him as the asset to get Brandon Ayuk. That's the one thing that San Francisco has wanted from all of these teams is a wide receiver in return. He would have been perfect for that situation. So trade him. Who would you rather have, Dante Jackson or Ayuk, if Deontay Johnson was still here? I think that's a legitimate thing.
Thank you, Bob. And also, it wasn't like Allen Robinson became a star here. I'm also not sure about or was even, you know, productive. He was never going to be a star. I get it. But the Allen Robinson move, not a good one. Larry Ogunjobi, we'll see if he's worth that contract.
He was good the other night.
Right?
I will say that.
Well.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I know. Patrick Peterson, I don't think that turned out to be a grade A move. You know, I just think that Omar is a little bit overpraised. I want to see how some of these things turn out, you know?
True, but I think he's done a good job of at least, you know, getting personnel.
He's trying. That's what I like about him.
And
he's willing to take some swings.
He's been creative in what he does. He's been, you know, I think that's all you can ask is somebody that goes out and does the job and gets the job done.
Well, I can ask that he makes right moves. And wins a playoff
game. That too,
game.
Right. But, I mean, I think overall his ledger is more positive to this point than negative. But
are we sure about that?
At the end of the day, well, it's only been 2 years.
I know.
Been a year and a half or two
I
years.
I know, but these are the Steelers,
but
and you now, win every year.
But now I think that we have to start to see the fruits of it in terms of playoff wins and all that kind of stuff. Because ultimately that's how a general manager is going to be. That's ultimately how the general manager is going to be judged.
Right.
Is he building teams that win?
All right. Coming up is Bob's showdown at the top of the hour. An entire nation is looking forward to this, Bob. And I know you have some special things planned. And we also have a big pirate story. In fact, there's two of them brewing right now that we're going to get into after the showdown. But there's also some other pirate issues that we need to get into, and also some NFL issues. Let's take a little trip around the NFL real quick next, because there's lots of things going on. We could even call it a wheel of ball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.